step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 456. I am Lisa Sheps, along with my co-host Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
And you are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. This is Pi Day, everybody. On the show today, we have our very dear friends at Ground Floor Theater and their show White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. And then a little later on, we're going to talk to the Salvage Vanguard Theater and their production of Conflama. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, in New York, Chicago, Indiana, and other states heretofore unknown. Okay, hold on, I gotta do this the right way. My mind and mouth are not they're not doing what I'm asking them to do.
You're backfiring a little bit.
I'm backfiring. Connected. It's Pi Day.
Delicious. It is Pi Day.
It's Maybe Pi Day. That could be it.
I know. And we lost Stephen Hawking too, which
we did lose Stephen Hawking.
It's a really big loss.
It is.
Well, he's infinite like pie.
He is.
He will live on as we are wont to do. So Kim Simpson, another wonderful international folk bazaar.
Kim likes to rock it.
He rocks it, Lithuanian or whatever. I don't remember which country we're in. Estonia, I believe, we were in Estonia.
You were in the area.
Yeah, I'm actually from Estonia. A lot of people don't know that. Estonese is my native language. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where it came from either. I didn't have a response for it. I was just going to let it go.
Let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have Lee Eddy here. Hi, Lee.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back. We have Florinda Bryant. Hi, Florinda.
Hey, how are you?
Tired from driving all the way. And we, because we allow our audience to know how the sausage is made here, I'm going to tell you to make sure you speak directly into that microphone
thank you.
Perfect. And we have Diana Lynn Small. We're going to use all three.
It's a good idea.
There we go.
Go for it, Lisa.
Every now and then we have to... Oh my Lord.
You know what?
I thought that was Diana for a second. She was like, breaking it out.
She has a theme song.
Yeah. I pressed a button accidentally. I'm going to set the button over there.
Theme songs.
I know. Well, you sometimes... I don't have a theme song. I get a sound.
We need. Yeah, you do.
Yours you have a sound.
She's got the chunk chunk.
The from Law and Order. Dun dun.
That's her.
Because I like to have crime sections about what's going on, crime in theater.
Yeah. Mm.
Dun, dun. I guess y'all don't have my Cardi B cute, right?
No, but that would have been good too.
Your what?
My
Cardi B.
I don't know. I'm Cardi B.
A musician.
Oh, there you go.
Don't worry, Lisa. I'll hook you up later.
Thank you. I need some hooking up.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
She'll call, you know, clear all your problems up and get you going.
So we did not have any Broadway openings this week, but we did have an off-Broadway opening that I thought was pretty interesting. It's called Admissions, and I'm searching for my little piece of paper here. But it's a show that deals with a school. Mm-hmm. That goes from, they're trying to get a diversity rating, and they go from 8% to like 16% diverse, and I'm using air quotes. Interestingly enough, it deals with racial politics, and the cast is 100% white.
Ugh.
And, well, that's by design. Yeah. There's a satire.
I was about to go, it's by design.
That's not how math works.
It's the point to make you think.
It is a satire. It's they deal with... things like they've got to take a school picture and they have to make sure that the people that are there are dark enough to be in the picture, to have enough diversity. There was one boy who is the child. He's a biracial child. His mother is white, who you see in the show. His father is black, who you do not see in the show, but he's too light skinned. He also wins out his admission to Yale over his best friend, who's white, whose school grades are, his GPA is better and are more AP classes. So it deals with all those kinds of themes that go through there in a satirical way. And it sounds very interesting. So this is done at Lincoln Center at the New House.
I was about to say Lincoln Center, right?
Oh. Yep. And it's written by Joshua Harmon. And one of the things it says this is admissions is an extraordinarily useful and excruciating satire of the left, by the left, and for the left for today.
Huh. Of the left, for the left?
By the left, yeah. It's for those of us left-wingers. And it deals with the piety of white liberals trying to do the right thing and not always succeeding.
I don't know what that's like at all as a white liberal. More plays for white liberals.
Yeah, I wear too. My white guilt on my sleeve.
Yeah. More plays for white liberals.
It's true. White liberals
timely.
Matter.
Yeah, so timely.
You didn't see the big sign when you came in through the studio today?
So it stars Jessica Hecht and Andrew Garman. The review by Jesse Green is, I'm going to say it's okay.
I think it was kind of
It wasn't bad. It's
but
on
it
the side
like,
of one in, interesting. That's it.
Okay.
He sort of skewered the lighting of this, which I found interesting.
Really?
Yeah, the lighting.
Yeah, he doesn't
wait, metaphoric lighting or the lighting
the
design?
Actual lighting in the design. He didn't skewer it. He just didn't. It's rare that you mention lighting at all unless it's just it's typically a passing.
He doesn't normally.
Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. People have heard me go on and on about lighting. And if you notice the lighting, you've almost done something wrong because it should just, it needs to serve the play.
Mm-hmm.
And so often our current lighting designers like to make it about their lights. There's a lot of smoke so we can see the beams and there's stuff. And instead of serving the play, they're trying to serve their lights. So
That does drive you nuts.
It drives me nuts.
I know it does.
Maybe they're just trying to get in the review. They're like, even if it's a bad review, you mentioned me finally.
I'm not invisible. I'm in it. My name.
Exactly.
But you take things like, and we're going to talk about her in a second, Rebecca Teichman and Indecent, and the lighting designer won Best Lighting. And the lighting is amazing in it. And it's not that it's calling attention to itself. It just does things, and everything it does serves the piece. Uh-huh. And it's just beautiful. Anyway, that's how I feel about it.
All right,
so admissions.
I was a little unsure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's... I'm just going to go through all these things. So did you see that there's going to be a Beauty and the Beast at the Hollywood Bowl?
I don't even know where to go. It's an interesting cast.
So Zooey Deschanel is playing Belle, which I don't think that's bad. I kind of like that.
Oh, wait, it goes all over the map, guys. Yeah, so wait, just buckle up.
Jane Krakowski is Mrs. Potts.
Which one is Jane Krakowski? From 30 Rock?
Allie McBeal.
Okay, thank you.
She loves me.
I know her from Grand Hotel and like Nine. She was everything in Nine, the revival of Nine.
Oh, did
you? Oh, my gosh.
Kelsey Grammer.
Okay.
Who do you think he would play?
The candelabra.
You're right, but that surprises me. He plays Lumiere.
Our French.
And Taye Diggs is playing Gaston. And this is the one I like the most.
It's great.
Rebel Wilson, LeFou.
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 LeFou was the sidekick of the bad guy?
LeFou? No, isn't LeFou the... yes. No.
I don't remember.
No, LeFou's
I'm proud that I do not know
things.
The characters of Beauty and the Beast.
So is it going to run, or is it like one night?
I think it's a one-night concert.
It's like the Hollywood Bowl will take these Broadway shows and put like a whole cast. They did like Hairspray not too long ago, and they'll put these casts together
it
to
is,
do two or three performances.
Wait,
okay.
Who's the
nights.
Beast? Do they say who the Beast is? That's like
oh, yeah, they do.
M. Ward is the Beast. Is it M. Ward? That'd be so good.
Anthony Evans is the Beast.
I missed him. The Beast. The Beast, as they say. Hmm. And then there's another interesting, Grand Hotel announced the final cast. Speaking of Grand Hotel,
speaking of Jane Krakowski, I saw her, the Michael Jeter in that. That was some, and Lillian Montevecchi.
I have to say that I saw it, the original, in New York.
Yes, this is.
And
You didn't like it?
I didn't, but I don't know why I didn't like it. A friend of mine was in it. That's the one that's got the chairs, right? The set is basically a bunch of chairs on stage.
They're kind of, I guess. They're in the hotel.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of chairs in it.
I guess. There's like settees and maybe they're in the foyer of the hotel. The Grand Hotel, I should
say. I'm going to have to go and look at it. My friend Michael DeVries was in it, and so that's why I went to see it. But I remember not liking it, but everybody else loves it, so I have the feeling I'm probably wrong.
I mean,
I don't remember. Probably the lighting.
The chairs to me were like, they weren't such a big deal. I mean,
so I might be thinking, though, this show, maybe, I don't know. I'm going to look it up, and I'm gonna come back in 2 weeks because I'm not here next week and talk about it.
It's the 80s.
But Helen York is going to play the lead in it. Also, Brandon Uranowitz, James Snyder, Irina Devorenko. There's like hard names to pronounce today.
Lisa, geographically, where is this happening?
New York City?
New York.
This is Encores. I'm sorry, I did not say that. So it's City Center Encores. This is the second of their 3 show season, I believe. Yes, Nicole? No, Nicole?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't
okay.
know. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, you could do both.
I could do both. I could, I mean, but I'd just be a lie.
I could do both. So did anybody watch Rise last night?
I didn't. I have it recorded.
No. Anybody?
I did see. Well, that's not. We'll just. Never mind. It doesn't have to do with Rise. So No. You don't like when I go off on tangents.
We'll go off on a tangent in a second. So, well, I saw it because I had to, because I knew I wanted to talk about it today. And I take my television very seriously.
I meant to watch it beforehand. I knew you were going to.
You know what? And
I watched an interview. Let me take this back. I watched 2 separate interviews, both with Josh Radnor and Rosie Perez. And I did not like the condescending attitude Josh Radnor had towards Rosie Perez, which kind of turned me off from watching the show.
Oh, just in the interview.
In the interviews, as their people, themselves.
Let's back up for just a second and tell people what we're talking about. Rise
Rise is from the producers of Hamilton. Okay. It is a
and
new
Friday Night Lights.
And Friday Night Lights.
Oh, this is advertised during the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
It's a new television show about the high schools and the
high school
theater program,
high school.
Yeah, and the theater programs, and it's kind of a Glee.
So what it is a failing high school in Pennsylvania, or failing theater department in Pennsylvania. This English teacher decides that he wants to take over the theater department, basically from Rosie Perez, and it's Josh Radnor, and it's and he decides that he wants to do a production of Spring Awakening, versus the third production, the third time they've done Grease.
Isn't it based on a book?
It is based on a book.
A real life story.
Is
it really?
Yeah.
And the real life story is the teacher in that case was a gay man with no kids. Mm-hmm. Josh Radnor plays a heterosexual married cis man with 2 kids. Mm-hmm. So they've taken some
liberties.
Well, I was going to say they've taken some hits for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they wanted. I don't know. But the review in the Times is sort of how I felt. First of all, Josh Radnor, not so good in this role, unfortunately. He's sort of playing that same sort of the same kind of character he did in How I Met Your Mother, but it's not working in this case. Rosie Perez is good. She's kind of understated.
Rosie's always been understated.
No,
I love me some Rosie Perez.
In my opinion, I've always found Rosie Perez to be very overstated. And this time she dialed it back a little bit, and I like it.
I love her.
She plays a really wonderful character. But of course, it's the story that you always hear. You know, they want to do Spring Awakening. The evil principal says no, and the kids rebel. And then, of course, there is the football player that is the best as the lead. And so there's that whole football thing. I'm going to keep giving it a shot.
I'm going to say this. The kid that they cast to play that actual role, he actually has been growing up doing theater and playing football his whole life. So he said when he got this role, he understood this character, and he didn't think it was a bunch of malarkey. He's a young new kid. I watched an interview with him. So I was like, all right, I'll give you kudos.
Well, it happens all the time. I mean, haven't you guys seen High School Musical?
Listen, you hear me. I think football and theater, it's the same thing. So let's not get started on that.
I had to choose between football and theater myself.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, where I was just like, they really wanted my athletic ability.
It's true.
It was a hard choice.
Me too.
I may have changed my mind a little bit more about Superstar, though. I was angry at that preview.
I know you were.
But I saw another snippet, and I was like, oh.
Well, I'll be very disappointed if you don't watch it. Does everybody wear
it? Alice Cooper is playing Alice Cooper, not King Herod. I mean, it's just when you watch it, you die laughing and you're like, oh, he's just going to play himself.
Oh, it's Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes.
Yes.
You guys, I'm not watching any television.
You got to start watching television.
Well, I can't afford it. But so where, so are they doing it like ABC does those
live
ones?
It's NBC Live. It's NBC Live.
I'm so sorry, Lisa.
And they'll be doing Jesus Christ Superstar. Alice Cooper is playing King Herod.
I thought he was going to play Jesus.
Who's Jesus? Jesus is John Legend.
Ooh.
Sarah Bareilles is Mary Magdalene. Brandon, is it Davis? Right? Hamilton? Brandon... He's playing Judas. I want to say Davis.
Anyway, so we can go through all this. We tend to rehash Jesus Christ Superstar every week.
It's my favorite musical.
But it is.
Come on, that's great.
I have my mom's vinyl of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Me too.
It is playing on Easter Sunday,
April 1st
on NBC. NBC,
which should play the Friday before Easter.
Is it one of those live ones?
Yes. I love watching the live ones. And
which we might just say is April Fool's this year.
Really?
Easter Sunday is April Fool's.
All right, moving on. Did you want to talk about whatever your tangent you wanted to roll out
that
on?
That was it.
Okay, that was it.
We got it in.
Are we not going to talk about theater happening in Indiana?
Yeah, we have it all. We have it all going. So there's a production of Grease that's going on in Indiana in a high school, and they want to change it to Spring Awakening.
Oh, wait, that's not the TV show?
No, I'm teasing.
Oh, that's crazy.
I just made that whole thing up by repeating a story I just said before. Wow. No, you know, we're going to skip Indiana today.
Okay.
We talk about it, but we're not going to do it. We are going to talk about Nathan Lane starring in Death of a Salesman.
Yes.
Which, as Loman.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I can say, okay, yeah. but how? It's
Curister and Curister said Alice to the Caterpillar.
Why
right?
did they feel the necessity to revive Death of a Salesman every 2 years?
It did just happen. It did just happen, like 2 years ago.
But
two?
I find. I think it's probably closer to 3 or 4.
It was longer.
But interestingly enough, every person that's played Willie Loman in all those Death of a Salesman have won the Tony for it.
Well, so. Nathan needs to get a Tony.
I'm all for that.
Who's designing lights for production?
I don't know, but I hope that they call a lot of attention to it.
So much fun.
Irving R. Feldman is the lighting designer.
Okay. Irving is waiting for that moment.
He's good.
Mr.
So,
Feldman.
So Tony Kushner said of Lane, anyone who cares about American theater should care about seeing Nathan Lane playing Willie Loman or James Tyrone.
Well, you know what? That's why they're bringing it back, because he says everyone in America deserves to see me.
I find it interesting that James Tyrone, I don't know how I could see him doing that in Long Day's Journey, but...
I got Tony Kushner and Jared Kushner mixed up for a second, and I was like, those are very two.
In some circles, they're the same thing. And actually, I could probably, without too much hesitation, saying that their security clearance is about the same.
Yeah.
Zing. Zing. Okay. Let's talk about Dear Evan Hansen going to the West End.
La West End.
And I think it's interesting that the producer is insisting. So they were thinking that maybe Ben Platt would come and reprieve. What's the word I'm trying to come up?
Reprise.
Reprise. I say reprise. You say reprise.
Reprise
his role in West End. Or they thought maybe...
Yeah, I think they thought that. I don't think he thought that.
No, I'm talking about the producers.
Yeah, I know. I'm just laughing. I don't think Ben ever
But anyway, well, I haven't talked to Ben, so I don't know. But anyway, they want a British Hansen, which I think is sort of interesting. That's the end of the story.
Well, I mean, they want to speak to their British audience. It's a relatable story.
I don't believe they're going to reset the show in English. It's not going to be set in England. It's still going to be set in the United States.
English kids do move to America.
It's going to be a British immigrant.
It'll be a British star doing an American accent.
Oh. Hey. Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, so
what else is new?
I mean,
the greatest acting challenge. I know.
Well, I mean, we do bring the shows from the West End to America and cast the Americans, so.
Name one.
Willy Wonka. We did not take the Douglas Hodge. We took the Christian Borle.
Yeah, well, there you go, and there's a reason for that.
So, I can go on.
So, Amy and the Orphans, which we talked about last week, this is something you'll find interesting, Nicole, because you talked about this the other day. There, and to remind folks, Amy and the Orphans is a show that opened at Roundabout, and it stars the young woman who is got Down syndrome, and they are going to have a relaxed performance. for people with special needs. And relaxed means it's reduced sound levels. Uh-huh. House lights will stay up. There will be places where people can go if they need to, like, get away for a little while. It's very interesting. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
I love that. I mean, a lot of it started. The Theater Development Fund, I think, has done a lot creating the programs to help with sensory-friendly productions and to create a safe space where it's more than just, we're going to turn the lights off and we'll give you some fidgeters. I mean, there's a whole nother level. And it's not just reaching out to kids, but to adults. And I just think that is so awesome. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I am excited. Thank you for sharing that.
I did that for you.
Jazz hands for you, Lisa Chef.
So, here's something that
Theater should be accessible for everyone. So,
agreed.
True. Anybody disagree with that?
Yes. Preach! I'm just over here. Preach!
I dare you to disagree with that one.
Do you want to take it outside?
I do.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Tony Awards.
What do you want to say?
I want to talk about the requirements to get to be nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Typically, and in most cases, In order for a role to be considered for Best Actor or Actress, your name has got to appear above the title, which I think
what?
Is yes.
Yes, you have to have a certain credit to even be eligible. Qualified. Forget the eligibility of when you went in the show or how many performances you're doing.
And this is
who decides idea. That producers.
This is coming. Yeah, producers and the it's done as a negotiation.
Well,
with
but do producers decide what name goes above the title?
It's done as a negotiation between the producers and the actors.
And the actors and the contracts when they're written.
But here's the point. This is what made me think of this. Frozen will more than likely be up, and both the two lead women, Elsa. Is typically the person one would think of as the star of the show, and I don't remember that. I've only seen it once, the movie once. But both of those actresses, and forgive me, I don't know their name, are not above the title. So currently they'd have to get they'd have to go before the Tony committee and say, can one of these be up for best actor and the other not be up for best
you
actor.
Can go in and make a bid and a fight for the Tony be eligible, but
yes, you can. My point is, it's a silly rule.
It's a very silly rule.
Agreed. That's dumb.
Yeah, because if I audition and I'm just me, nobody
hold
knows
on.
Who
let
I,
me call the Tony Association.
Okay. If I audition for a role and I get the lead role and I kick A,
yeah.
and do a great job,
you should be
I
recognized.
Should not have to be relegated. Well, I'd be recognized, but as a featured performer, not as lead actor. And I'm sorry. It pisses me off.
No, that's rude. And it totally does not allow new talent to come up and flourish in the way it should.
Lee, I knew you would you
the
would
Tonys is
me.
All about new talent flourishing.
I know. That's we need true. To, like, well, things need
it
to change.
It has been. It
we're
has
talking about
been.
Accessibility to theater. Let's get some people that are talented and are good at the stuff recognized for it.
So speaking
Tony,
of
Jared Kushner.
Jared, yeah, he's a great playwright, that Jared Kushner. what I learned from Uncle Donnie. Ugh. Daddy Donnie. The last thing I want to really talk about here, maybe one other thing after that, is we talked about Tony Awards and we're talking about Indecent and Rebecca Teichman, who directed that and she won for Best Director. There's a nice little interview with her in Playbill. And I was to remind everybody, I was just so did anybody see Indecent? There was a video of it.
The PBS.
PBS.
Great performances.
So, I mean, she is an amazing director. And the whole time I'm looking at it, I'm going, I'm not that good. She's just so good. The decisions and the choices she made were just incredible. And there's just a wonderful little interview with her talking about how. You know, what her process is, how she works with actors, what her biggest mistakes, the biggest good thing. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's what I'm saying. And it's in playbill.com, and it's nice. I just think that's good. And she's got a new show that is opening, I think, this week or next week called Flat Earth. And it is about...
Ooh, I think it's next week.
Yeah, so it's about a school that has undergone a shooting, and it's about the kids returning to school. I mean, it's and when this interview happened to be on the day that the kids were returning to school in Florida, which is interesting. I'm glad she's approaching this because I know that she'd probably approach it in a way that makes a statement that we all want to hear, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Glad nobody disagreed.
Who wrote it? Flat Earth.
I don't know.
Who's
I don't know.
Dividing
I
look, lights.
Irvin R. Feldman, once again.
He's everywhere.
Flat Earth.
Speaking of how to succeed in murder. What's the show?
Which how to
the one that's happening next week?
Oh, Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Guide to Love and Murder.
I didn't know if you were talking about TV like
Darko Trejnek, who directed that, is he's directing the world premiere of This Ain't No Disco.
Oh, Stephen Trask. Oh, Stephen Trask, big man,
and the Peter Yenovitz.
Yes, this is exciting.
So that's gonna the performances begin in June at the Linda Gross Theater.
Exciting.
Darko Trejnek. All right, so we're going to take a little break. Oh, I didn't mention
I love Stephen Trask.
Well, I'm sure he loves you too. I did not mention the reason why I played the song that I played. There was a thing in something I read. It was a list of the great songs by the villains of musicals. And so that song was from the Heathers, Welcome to My Candy Store. And Heather says, you would think it's going to come to Broadway, but I don't know if they have plans to come to Broadway.
No, I mean, it did really well off-Broadway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the music is a hoot.
It is, and that was that first song, and it was called...
There's a lot of villains in Heathers, though, so...
There is, and actually, it was the three Heathers, I believe, are the villains, mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm, how it went. Yeah, so this next one is for Nicole Shiro, another villain.
Little cheeks, little teeth.
Hello, and we are back. We are going to move into the next section. I'm taking over, Lisa, because you're going to be a guest now. Woohoo!
Yes, I am.
So we're gonna switch it over here and talk to Lisa Sheps and Lee Eddy with the Ground Floor Theater's production of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
Yes, White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. I'd make a rabbit sound, but I don't. I think they just do this.
Oh. Yeah, I did it with you. You want to hop?
What do you want to know?
Can you hop?
I can't hop. I drink beer with hops.
Hop for the radios. So, Lisa, you know, I want to say tell me about this show, but can you tell us about this show? This is a very secretive show, so kind of explain what's going on.
It is. It's a very secretive show. I can't say much of anything, but let me just tell you this. It's a very exciting show. Lee is here because she is one of the performers. And before I tell you what it's about, Lee, you're one of the performers in the show. What do you know about the show?
I know the title of the show, and I know that it's at Ground Floor Theater, and that I need to be there by 7:45.
I was about to say, do you know what time
no,
you have
to
show up?
No, you need to be there at 7.
Okay, by 7. So,
let's be clear about what the call is. 7:45.
Sorry, I was just adding something.
I would have a little bit of a heart attack.
That's all I know. I also know that I'm completely nervous and excited and terrified and vomity and excited. Right. All
vomity is
time.
Good. We
yeah,
love that.
That's what I want to know from an actor's perspective. So,
well, let me answer your question.
Uh-huh.
So the play is written by Nassim Salamanpour. He is a playwright out of Iran. He wrote this about 4 years ago, I believe. And it's a scripted play, one person play, that sort of talks about it's an experiment in how a playwright speaks directly to the audience through an actor.
Okay.
So that's basically what it is. So
No, I was just laughing. We were talking about Nathan Lane earlier. He was one of the
he
folks
was one of the people that did it in New York.
Has done it in New York.
Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg did it in New York.
There's a lot of people, and there's a. Well, I don't want to tell people to go look for stuff. I think you just need to go and enjoy it. It's more
so the fun part of this is each actor that's done it has never seen it nor has read it. They won't see it or read it until they show up on stage.
So there is a physical script.
There is a physical script.
Okay. In a manila envelope. You shall
so,
get it.
So I will introduce everybody that comes to the stage. I will hand the actor a...
Lee, you're writing a show that night. You didn't know?
I could do it.
Good. Well, we can do it that way, too. I hand them a prop, which could be poison, and a script. And then off they go. So they really come in knowing nothing. They get instructions from the playwright 2 days before. So I've already sent out the instructions for tomorrow night and Friday night that is general in nature, and they have one instruction. You have to prepare one little thing that will be said in that letter. And then we're off to the races. So I put together... there's so many people to choose from in Austin, but I'd like to think that we scratched the surface of A-listers here in Austin. I think there are more, and Lietti is one of them.
Oh, I was like, man, I had to go to B-list to get to me.
No,
not
you were
at
A-list.
All. You were at the top. I don't know what you're talking about.
You were A-list.
So when Lisa approached you about this and was like, hey, do you want to show up and perform in a show and you won't know anything until you get there? How's that sound?
It was terrifying. And I was like, I need to think about it for a little bit. And the way I thought about it is I went to the Ground Floor Theater website to see who else was doing it. And I was like, oh, okay, I trust these people's instincts. And if they're going to do it, I think I could probably do it too. So that's peer pressure through websites.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So how do you feel? I mean, you feel it's a little terrifying and exciting.
Yeah. And like exciting, terrifying. It's just mostly I'm scared of failing, but I don't think I can fail because I don't know anything about it. And also failing is a good thing too. So I guess I'm mostly like, is there going to be nudity? Will I have to do something that's really uncomfortable for my own sakes of
No, let me bodily? Just, let me tell you, if there was to be nudity, you would know it ahead of time.
All right, thank you. Because I was like,
so I think you're pretty safe there.
And I've been...
Yeah, no,
Lisa's
you're good.
Lisa's trying just
you're
to get
good.
All of Austin all naked. It's really an ulterior motive.
It was like a gotcha sort of, ha-ha.
So some of the other performers that we have, I'm very excited about. We're opening tomorrow night with Rebecca Havermeyer. Oh, let me also say that through Alejandro Piedemonte, we are having 5 Spanish language productions.
That's awesome.
And 10 o'clock on Thursday night is Adolfo Aguilar, who I'm told is a huge star in Peru.
Nice.
So, So we've got some A-list Spanish actors as well, and so we have what did I just say? I said Rebecca Havermeyer. We have Mark Puhe, Rudy Ramirez, Lietti. We have Zell Miller III. Forgive me, those are the
Shannon
Michael
Sedgwick.
Furstenfeld, Shannon Sedgwick, Owen Edgerton. So we've got some great people that
like,
are coming to do this.
Really. And they're all, everybody's so well-rounded, so it's one of those shows that even though it's always someone different, it really will truly be something different, you know, it's like the first time out of the gate, it's always a different experience, but really just, I think everybody will bring something different to it, just kind of exciting.
Oh, the program's right there, maybe
the program's right here, so I'm just going to make sure, I'm going to go through everybody while we can do it. Alex Piedemonte, Fatima Garcia-Checa, Lietti, KT Shore, Michael Furstenfeld, we talked about, Alexandra Basilo Shaw, Mark Puhe, Shannon Sedgwick, Rudy Ramirez, Rodrigo Zaragoza, Owen Edgerton, Veronica Pomata, and we close it with Karen Jambon. Jambon. I always mispronounce her last name.
So,
always.
So, Lisa, how long does this show run? What is the runtime on this show?
It's just over an hour.
Okay.
So it's very easy to see. And we also we're going to do a little pre-show before most every performance. I don't have somebody before. So there'll be a 10-minute set of either spoken word or poetry or music or something fun.
Can I give a shout out for the Saturday night
opening? Yeah, please do.
So for March 17th, Isabella and Her Dinosaur will be opening with their awesome act. It's Zach Munn and Cami Elise, and it is basically two comedians that like to explore the abyss of the world, and Zach plays the dinosaur, and Cami plays Isabella, who's a French speaker practicing her American accent and is filled with comedy and songs.
We okay. Love it.
I just kind of love that right there.
Can we
just come for that? That's still real prepared. They have like lines memorized and songs.
Can we take a little aside, a little?
We sure can.
Because Florinda, I asked you to choose a number between 2 and 52. What'd you choose?
I said 47.
Okay, let's see what it is.
Hi, this is Austin gay playwright Alan Baker, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Beautiful. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Always forget the whisper.
Oh my God, that's funny. We haven't heard that in, I don't even remember how long. That was good. Good choice.
So we need to wrap this section up.
Well, I mean, is there anything else you can really tell listeners?
Yes, I can tell folks. I can tell folks that they can get information at groundfloortheater.org. We open this Thursday, the 15th of March, and close on the 31st of March.
And you have pretty pictures with the listing of all of these lovely folks that you have performing each night, which I think is wunderbar.
And I'll be there on Saturday, March 17th. So thank please you. Very good. Come and
are
see.
Are you there with the dinosaurs?
Yes. Well, I hope the dinosaur will stay on stage with me if I need it. But no, they'll be opening for the March 17th performance on Saturday.
That is so exciting.
I think so, too.
Well, Lee, thank you for spending some time and coming in here today.
Thanks for having me to talk about a show I don't know anything about.
There you go. Well, let me just say that we're coming out of this. We're going to play a song called Rabbit Utopia from a show called The Rabbits. It's an opera that's done in Australia. So it's quite fun.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, we are back. Let me turn the rabbits off. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
That's it. We're on KOOP, streaming at KOOP.org. Let's do a very quick local so we have plenty of time to talk to Salvage Vanguard. So I want to just talk about the Rude Mechs. They're doing Fixing Troilus and Cressida.
I know. I'm going to see this.
This is part of Kirk Lynn's series. Fixing Has anybody seen any of his other Fixing Shakespeare's?
This is the third one.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I got to turn your microphone
on. Oh, you saw
on.
This one.
I saw this one. I've seen all of them.
Oh,
yeah.
This oh, that's right. It's already open. Right? Yep. I keep forgetting it's open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can you tell us about it? Do you love it?
Yes. It's super fun. The cast is so good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And Alex, who's in the Ground Floor Show.
Ground Floor Theater, right. She directed it.
And she did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Zach in their rehearsal studio.
I love that it's in the Nallen. I think it's kind of a cool space. Everything I've heard or read, it's always different, which is so funny when you normally talk to someone about a show and they're like, oh yeah, I liked this or this or this. I keep hearing different things from people, which gets me excited.
It works with the Fixing series. Like it had that sort of theater in the round vibe.
So what Kirk does is he takes these shows, he normalizes the English, he makes it a little fun. For instance, I know in Troilus and Cressida, there are a lot of F-bombs thrown out.
Yeah, but you know what? There weren't as many as there usually are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's
a little more family friendly.
He basically fixes Shakespeare so that people enjoy it, I guess. Keeps the storyline intact. I'm told that the meter he keeps the meter in a lot of things.
Oh, cool.
And still does all the soliloquies and everything, but it's just done in English.
I love it. Well, I mean, you get people who really love Shakespeare too. You get everybody arguing what is broken, what needs that. No, this play is the one that has to be fixed in here. And so I just think it brings up a great conversation. And it's I don't know. I don't think Willie would be upset.
I don't think so.
I think
either.
He'd love it.
So more information at rudemechs.com. Did you have anything cool else stuff. Before we go into today in theater
no,
history?
No, that was this is what I've been fascinated with right now. So you beat me to it,
I have not seen any
lady.
Of the other two, so I'm looking forward to seeing this. Hopefully I can. Okay, let's go to today in theater history.
Today
in theater history?
In theater history.
In what?
Theater history.
What?
That's it.
No.
1913, there is a play called Damaged Goods describing the effects of venereal disease. It was given one matinee performance at the Fulton Theater in New York, but they loved it so much it did a 66 performance.
Oh, it was supposed to be like a one night only,
thing.
But that's 1913
play about VD.
There you
known.
Go.
1979.
The title's everything.
Damaged. <It's true.
laughs> I mean, the title's like.
So I did this for you, Nicole Shiro, because you love Coriolanus.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No,
I thought you did.
Maybe that's Nick.
Maybe there's a, no.
The other Nick?
I thought it was you. So
I mean, I don't dislike.
So never mind. I won't talk about it. But the Royal Shakespeare Company did it in West End at the Aldwych Theater.
What year?
1979. 3 years after I graduated high school. So 1990, Craig Lucas's Prelude to a Kiss opens off Broadway.
I remember that.
It starred a couple people that I've never heard of, Alec Baldwin and Mary Louise Parker.
Mm-hmm.
It transferred to the Helen Hayes Theater and Timothy.
With some more no people.
Timothy Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
So
some more no unknown people.
2002, Sweet Smell of Success opened on Broadway with John Lithgow, Brian D'Arcy James, and Kelly O'Hara. Written by Marvin Hamlisch, Craig Carnelia, and John Guare. I know if I'm mispronouncing that name.
John Guare.
John Guare. Guar Guir.
House of Blue Leaves.
It got.
Yep.
Playwright.
Yeah.
He came on. He gave us Bunny Falingas. This guy's amazing. Well, yeah. He wrote a lot of others. 6 Degrees of Separation. All
it
that.
Got slammed by the critics and only played. See, this is what kills me. It got slammed by the critics and played 109 performances. The show I did got slammed by critics and played 3 performances. So I don't feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
2010, Looped. Valerie Harper plays Tallulah Bankhead in Looped. Do you remember? We talked about that when it opened.
I was about to say, I remember when that opened. Yep.
2013, Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike opened on Broadway with Christine Nielsen and David Hyde Pierce.
It really seems like that was longer than 5 years ago.
No, not to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. I forgot that Sigourney Weaver was in it.
Yes.
And Zach Scott did a really wonderful production of it with...
Jason
Williams.
And Laura Lane.
It was really great.
A bunch of people.
Birthdays. Horton Foote. Luther Henderson and Billy Crystal.
Bon anniversaire.
All right. We're going to take another little break. We're going to hear another song by Somebody Evil. And this is from Newsies.
The evil people have all the good songs, if you ask me. So, majority of them.
Okay. Well, let's listen to The Bottom Line.
Let's.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage in the Air from Indiana with
Gary,
Lisa Gary Indiana, Lisa Sheps, and Nicole Shiro.
Hello. I'm so used to Nick Squared that yeah,
Gotta come up with something else.
Yes, I'm Nick, lame by myself.
So we just got finished talking to Lee Eddy and Lisa Sheps, and now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk to Florinda Bryant. And I got to decide how many names I want to use for you this time. Diana Small. We're going to use 2.
Dropping it.
And their show, Conflama. So Florinda,
say that again.
Conflama.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that properly?
Yeah.
Well,
hearing it.
When Estonia isn't my native language, Spanish is.
Bring it.
So tell us about Conflama.
Conflama is a story about a young girl coming of age in Los Angeles. And it kind of chronicles her journey. It spans several different decades from the 40s to the 70s. And really just focuses on her experiences and how she's able to grow and to love meeting all these different folks on the bus.
Okay, so that's what it takes place on a bus? Does the whole play take place on the bus?
That's not literal. But yeah, we do have a bus and we're very, very proud of our bus. It's beautiful. But yeah, everything's fluid. Time's fluid. Location's fluid. Characters.
So does our character goes from the 70s to the 40s to the 70s? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Good amount of time.
Yeah. And it's an ensemble piece. So again, everything is fluid. Time is fluid. Characters are fluid. It's examining the loop that we seem to be stuck in. I think one of the most striking things about the piece is the similarities between some of the stories from decade to decade. One of the reasons why I was really pulled to do this piece right now is struck me that there's like, oh, we've been saying some of these things for a very long time now. And here we are, 2018, and we're still saying them. So it's wonderful how that works out, but also kind of sad and tragic that we, as in society, are caught in this loop.
Lately, I'm going to the sad and tragic part of that because, you know, we continue to make the same mistakes or we continue to go into that loop. But so I'm in the sad and tragic part right this very second.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to be. Thank you so much again for having us on so we kind of get to inform some folks about what Salvage Vanguard is doing to help support the communities that we serve, including those artists that are on stage. So in responding to the recent tragedies around the bombs that have been taking place on the East Side, targeting particularly Black and brown folk, SVT decided to... do that thing that we always do and really, really hold community and hold space for our Black and brown actors. So it's not the time to do the work in that way. So we're going to hold opening the show until next week.
Okay.
Take advantage of having an opportunity to allow the cast to participate in some of the community events that are happening this weekend designed to support our communities and ourselves. We're even going to do a little teaser of a snippet roll up in Givens Park on Saturday. party and perform some of the show, just whoever's there, just really an attempt to remind the community, as we attempt to find ways to heal from this tragedy, how we use art as a tool and a vehicle for healing and for change. Mm-hmm. I think
my artivism. I'm always like, artivism! And it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's really, I can't even put into words how much it is meant to be able to be a part of a company that is wanting and willing to respond to what's happening right now. A lot of times it's a theater thing that, the show must go on. I'm doing the show as a honor to a legacy that I'm a part of, my art legacy, and honoring Lori Carlos. And it really came to me yesterday just thinking about how many of us in the art community, how many of our elders did the show go on for in ways that ended up doing more damage right. than it did to sustain them. Mm-hmm. So we had an opportunity and we're committed to providing safe space for these actors. I promised to get you in and get you out. And maybe it's time for a new tactic. Maybe the way that we've always responded, the show always going on, is a way that we've always operated. And maybe now we get to find some new tactics and some new ways of handling with some of the things.
I think it's a case by case basis, because not sometimes the right thing to do would be to carry on and trudge through. And sometimes,
I think that what's interesting about this is that, particularly when we look at the trauma that Black and brown people are existing with, I don't think that we've been going on.
True.
So there is no, is there a time to keep going? I think that the time to keep going, that stops, that doesn't serve. Who are we doing that for? Who gets to make that call? Mm-hmm. No one but a Black or brown person is going to know what that trauma is.
Absolutely.
No one's going to know what it's like to be, and this is just with the bombings, not thinking about what people are dealing with immigration concerns, what people are dealing with violence from the police. So I kind of think that the show must go on. That's how we end up with the crazy drunk artists. Lisa, I really believe that.
Okay.
That's how we end up with the people being sick and out of their minds, because something has shifted. Something has changed. And you have to stop and acknowledge that, or else we're teaching young actors, hey, trauma, terroristic threats happening, you're a target, but let's do this show. And the other part of that is that the people, we want everyone to come and see the show, but if the majority of our communities are being are meeting in solidarity mm-hmm. in other spaces, then that means that, again, we're performing trauma for a more than normally white audience. And I'm also not interested in doing that either.
Okay.
I think that it's already it happens in Austin a lot. Our trauma is entertainment in some ways. And so this is a really good opportunity for our organization to put, you know, our actions where our mouth is. Not only, you know, we talk about representation on stage and off. This is what it means to have a Black woman on staff. Because I can tell you, as a Black person, this is what's not okay. And no one white can make that. We'll have information about that.
Awesome. Well, that's and that is important. And SVT has a history of being an active mm-hmm. theater company, doing pieces that make you think.
Mm-hmm. And start conversations.
Yeah, pieces teach us about life, and we wouldn't be true to Conflama. Conflama is teaching us to respond.
Yeah.
And
through our art.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is not, we're pushing our run back. I mean, we're still going to do our 3-week run. But this allows us as artists and as community members to show up for our community mm-hmm. and be able to use the art and share with people in the community. This is what art does for us. I really believe, you know, the art, I believe in what the power of art, and I'm just wanting to try to use it in a different way.
So do you want people to know about when you were going to come in on Saturday
yes.
to perform? And
yes, I do. We will be at Givens Park at 6:00, and it is just straight up run up guerrilla style theater. Uh-huh. We're bringing Janet Jackson, which is a little amp that I have.
Okay, I love that your amp. Okay.
Yeah. And we're bringing her out, and we're just going to see what happens with the work and what happens in the community.
She's got control.
Yeah, she's got control. And, you know, Givens Park is a park that, you know, folks are trying to shut down.
Where is Givens Park for those that don't know?
It's on the east side. It's off of Springdale and Webberville. Right. And that's how you get that. I also wanted to mention two other events that are happening. One that's happening tomorrow at Greater Mount Zion, and it's the East Austin bombing. How can we unite to protect our communities? I think APD was really slow in responding to this situation. I think that We'll just leave that. .. And so a lot of times we have to be thinking about how to strategize to protect ourselves, because we can't count on a lot of people. What does that look like in the neighborhood? I know that day there were a lot of us on Facebook. Let's call the churches. Let's go check on our elders. We all we got, we all we need. So that's a really important conversation that's happening, and that's being held by the Austin Justice Coalition and Black Lives Matter. And then also on the 16th, there's going to be a Push for Peace event that is by Black Pflugerville and also Counterbalance. And that's going to happen at East Austin College Prep, which is, you know, the school where Draylen.
Is there a place where folks can get information about those events?
Oh, or yes, they are on. Yeah. They are on the Book of Faces. And you can literally, I mean, there's so much stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, you search Black Lives Matter Facebook, you'll find
Black
it.
Black Lives Matter, Austin Justice Coalition, Counterbalance. My page has, and I'll get SVT to also share these links in an hour. But we also have the link that's set up to for folks that want to support the family in other ways.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really excited. And I feel sure enough grown. Again, like the part of doing this work was really to honor Lori Carlos, who was a mentor to not only to me. Zell Miller is one of her babies.
I was like, right. Wasn't Zell one of her? Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of us, and she taught us a lot. And I think that this is probably, I wanted to do this work to honor her, and this decision and responding the way we are to what's happening in our community is probably the highest tribute that I could pay to Lori.
Okay, so let's just jump back in our last minute or so to talk about Conflama.
Yeah.
Written by Sharon Bridgeforth.
Yes.
Is this, tell me a little bit about the cast. Who's in it?
Okay. We have, let's see, there's Adam Martinez, and I want to make sure I get everyone's name right. Mary Beyer, Dominique Cunningham, Ajua Danielle, and then Samanchi. Those are the five characters, my five performers.
Is this a show? Is this an all ages? Do I want to bring my kids to this?
Yes, you bring your kids and your mom and them.
Okay.
I'll have
I like my mom and them.
Yeah, bring your mom and them, the kids, yeah. It's a family piece, and I can't speak to how critical this piece is right now, and how connected it is to what we're experiencing.
Well, awesome. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Hopefully you can stick around and join us backstage for a few minutes.
Yes, thank you.
And we can talk more about the really positive work you're doing around social justice, because I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Florinda Bryant and Diana Lynn Small. Their show, Conflama by Sharon Bridgeforth, produced by Salvage Vanguard Theater, is now running March 22nd through April 7th at the Doherty Arts Center. For more information, salvagevanguard.org. We'll be right back.
I hate the bus. I want my own car.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
With Nicole Shiro.
Yep, we just got finished speaking to Florinda Bryant and Diana Lynn Small. And we were speaking earlier to someone named Lisa Sheps and Lee Eddy. So we done did it without our little Nick here.
I know. It was I missed the mayo today, but that's okay.
Yeah, hold the mayo.
We just held it.
So remember, folks, to like us on Facebook. We tweet a little bit on the Twitter.
We do.
In the Twitterverse.
Yes.
We stitch us on Stitcher.
We are on the Stitcher.
And the best way you can get us is our podcast, which you're able to hear backstage at Offstage, and get insight into what
everything
makes Nicole and Lisa tick. How
best
do they do that?
Offstageonair.com. There's a little box right there on the right-hand side. Just enter your email, and every week the show just appears. Shazam!
Shazam! You can also
the
get
the whole show and the podcast.
You can also get it on iTunes.
On the iTunes. You can like us while you're there, too.
Yeah, like us or give us a review.
Yeah.
That would even be better.
Nice review.
yeah, please don't give us an out loud
review.
No,
I don't want a mean review. You're going to be mean. Don't do it.
Okay, so we've done it. So for our final villain, oh, I should say that we need to stand by for Austin Monitor News, which is coming up next. If you're listening to us on the terrestrial radio, if you listen to the podcast, stick around. We're going to duck backstage and hang out amongst the dumpsters and with our feet in puddles of unnamed liquid.
Yes, we like doing
where we
that.
Talk.
So
the last I could not do evil without listening to King George.
Oh, well, yeah, no,
you'll
that's a good
one. Be back. Soon you'll see, you remember you belong to me. You'll be back.
Time well, the curtain will tell. Has just come down on Puddles of Unnamed Liquid, the musical. the story of Lisa and Nicole going into metaphoric puddles. Well, we're here backstage, next to the dumpsters.
Tapping our way through metaphoric puzzles.
We do. We just the show just came down. We're out. We've come out the backstage door. We're here next to the dumpsters. It's a nice day out.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. And we are joined by Florinda Bryant and Diana Lynn Small. How are you guys? Yeah, here's a cue. Here's a clue. Nodding doesn't work.
Oh, that's because
you can't hear it.
Nodding does not work. We heard little wind coming around.
A little wind. Yeah. Yes, we are here.
It works in Indiana.
In the theater, we just don't feel like language is sufficient. We also need gesture.
We
language.
Do need gesture.
Gesture is more impactful.
So here we go. We're talking about you guys versus the shows you were. And so, Florinda, I take it you're from Houston. Are you from Houston?
I'm from a little bitty town outside of Houston, actually halfway to Galveston.
Called?
Lamarck.
I know Lamarck.
That is where I was raised. And then high school time, I moved uh-huh. to Houston. But that's where I grew up. So that's
I lived in Galveston for a very short time in 1979. And I was
Did
drive.
You? I didn't know you were in Galveston for a bit.
Well, when I moved to New York. Okay, you're going to talk about me now because that's what happened. I moved to New York to be a performer. Oddly enough, I didn't get every show I auditioned for. I was so ready to leave New York. I hated it. And then I auditioned at Pace University for a director named Dave Davis for a little show called The Lone Star in Galveston, Texas.
And
I got that
right.
job, and it was a seven-month gig. And so I lived in Galveston for 7 months. And after that, I said, I need to be back in New York. And so I went back to New York and never left. Mm-hmm. Voila.
Yeah, I spent my time, my summers, doing the Galveston Outdoor Musicals.
Were you out? So the Lone Star didn't last very long, and maybe at the same place. Was it out at, I think it was called, like out on 10 Mile or 16 Mile or something like that? Yeah. So we may have performed in the same theater. Cause
it was an outside theater. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I said
with a little berm in the back.
Yes, and you had to kind of walk around the thing. And there were the Nutri-Rats in the distance.
Yep.
The Nutri-Rats in the distance.
Yeah, you did your tech rehearsals from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
We were there from, I was the second cast. So in 78. No, it was 77. Never mind. I'm old. It was 1977. It was the second cast. So do you know what Rain Pace is?
Rain Pace.
Have you heard that term before? Rain Pace?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Because we think rain's coming, so you start moving faster.
Yeah, because if you get past intermission, they don't have to refund the money.
Yeah, no, we have to go quickly. Yeah, no, don't remember that.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Diana, did you ever do outdoor theater?
Oh. No.
No, okay.
Well, only like outdoor experimental theater, which is different than like
AET, we call that.
Yeah.
OET. Sorry, it's too fast for me.
Yeah. No,
I never did like 90s. big theater or like musicals or any of that stuff.
I did outdoor theater, but I never heard the Rain Pace.
Rain Pace is good.
Yeah, no, you had to keep it going.
But I also did a lot of free summer musicals, so it doesn't matter.
Well, because there's outdoor theater like at Tut's that the theater itself is covered.
Yeah.
We weren't covered. We
not
were open
all.
to the elements.
To the elements.
So you grew up in Lamarck. And you did theater then when you were a kid.
Yeah.
What brought you, what, how'd you get the bite to do theater?
To do theater? I was born with it, I think. I don't know. I mean, isn't that everybody's story? She sang before she could talk. Mm-hmm. She danced before she could walk. Like that whole thing.
I wish that were my story.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm trying to, did I do a show for singing in church?
Were any of your family theater people or artists in any way?
No, but you know, we do the sneaky artist things.
The sneaky, I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Where your family is like, why is she the way she is? Where does this come from? And then as you get older and then they get older and then the secrets start coming out and then it's like, oh, that's where I think my grandmother before she passed was on her deathbed basically, and me and I have another cousin who's very talented writer, and we did it as, you know, jokes kind of thing, and she just like grabbed my cousin and she's like, y'all come here, and we're like, whatever, and she's like, you got poets. And we were like, what is she talking about? Like, and so then my grandfather that ran away for bread, like that she said, so went to the store and never came back. As it turns out, he was a poet. And then so my mom, is she's like, oh yeah, she kind of mentions that a couple of times when she would be feeling very good. And she was like, yeah, well, I used to write poetry. And I was like, why do you have me feeling like I'm the weirdest oddball in the world? And you know, and it's right here. My dad was a very talented singer and a dancer. His life did not afford him the privilege of exploring either of those. But yeah, and my mom would always make sure that we were going places and doing things. My mom, probably because she knew she was a poet and a writer. But yeah, it was very, I think I may have been like 22, maybe 23 when that moment happened. And I was like, why? I thought I was just like, something was wrong with me. Why am I like wanting to do this thing that seems so far removed? But no, there were.
So did you go to college for theater?
No, I pretended to one time. I did the thing where I took a lot of classes to be ahead, and so I started taking some basic class to be ahead, and then I hung out in the U of H theater department lobby. I didn't make it a full semester, I think.
It's a nice lobby.
It's a great lobby. It was fun.
Why not hang out there?
It was nice, and I was like, oh, look. And then I was like, I'm going to go do this audition now. Okay, bye. And then I was like, so you're going to go to school to do an audition? To this seems backwards. And so then I just stopped going because it didn't
set other things.
Yeah, it just it
well sometimes not. It's not the right course. I did a similar course. I went to college for a year. I moved up to New York, and in theory I was going to go to school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and then I said why, and I went I decided to work instead. So
yeah,
2 years later I was on Broadway, which is not bad.
Shazam. That's a jazz hand.
Yeah.
It is a jazz hand.
I think the same thing happened. Well, it got a little bit more twisted because there's always a man, right? There's always a man somewhere waiting to ruin something when you're young and first coming out the gate. And so then I ran to Austin.
We're not wise either.
I wish
I could tell my younger self so many things.
No,
I wouldn't have
Nobody
listened.
Listens. That is the thing about life. Ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody gonna listen to you. Who won't listen to you? You could roll up on your stuff and you still be like, no, I got it. And then I came to Austin, but then, you know, you end up being where you're supposed to be. I walked into an audition and met Sharon and met Lori.
And the rest of the season.
How long have you been in Austin now?
Oh, dear Jesus. 97?
Oh, okay.
20 years?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Long time.
Uh-huh.
I'm going on it too. So I know epiphany and I went, whoa.
You know, Dr. Joni Jones Omi has a book that's talking about the jazz aesthetic. And I'd been not keeping it from the cast, but like wanting us to get to a place of like clarity about some things before I bought in these things. And then one of the actresses, she just was like, oh, that's the year I was born. Mm. So then my eye twitch did it.
It happens, and it will continue to happen, and it will get worse.
It just continues.
I'm embracing it. But there was a moment of like, oh, well, isn't that special? But as you know, she was, you know, anyway. Yeah, so it happens.
Yeah, Diana, what about you? What's the genesis of Diana?
I grew up in Martinez, California. It's in the East Bay Area.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's really a Italian suburb. Joe DiMaggio is from there. Okay. That's our big claim.
Small is a well-known Italian name.
Also, if you Wikipedia Martinez, it'll tell you that the martini was invented there.
Oh, well, that's
most
what,
people will
that's
disagree,
why I like it.
But it's in
I
Wikipedia.
I was about to say, isn't it like a huge argument?
And if it's
and
in
the
Wikipedia.
Amtrak pamphlet.
Oh, okay. Well, that has a lot of good. So you grew up in the Bay Area. Did you do theater in the Bay Area?
I did it in high school. But I think maybe the most impactful was my teacher bringing these like scrappy kids to San Francisco to see plays at like
ACT, so
that was sort of.
Do you
I
have
saw
any...
Yellow Man premiere at Berkeley Rep, and
oh,
I had no, I didn't. It was
cool.
Like a couple years ago. I realized like that's really special,
isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was actually gonna. That you sort of answered my question before I asked it. But did you see anything? Because ACT is always doing some amazing
things too. Yeah. Well, I saw there was a company of actors, and we'd see these two men in sort of this in shows every time we went. And so I saw Waiting for Godot when I was like 12 with these two black actors that ACT were. They were in the company, and I did. I fell asleep. I was like 14.
Of course.
And then I also saw The Dazzle that they did. That's like about these two hoarders, and it was at ACT. But
I'm waiting to hear who these two people are. Do you know who they are?
I don't remember their names. Okay. I was like 14. I didn't know. I was
expecting you to say it was a Denzel Washington. And
it probably could have been.
It could have been, and I don't even remember. But I don't think so. They were company members of ACT.
So what brought you here to Austin, Texas?
Well, I moved to Austin to go to grad school at UT for playwriting.
I've heard of UT.
Yeah, it's
really
a pretty
have.
Big school.
So you're a playwright.
I'm a playwright. and but I also act and direct. Mm-hmm. When I applied to grad school, I was living in Santa Barbara at the time, where I went to undergrad.
But you've just lived in really awful places.
I know. It's hard life.
I feel very bad
for
you.
It's hard to be me. And then, so I applied to like a bunch of playwriting programs because that was sort of the documents I had. It would have been the best application. But if I didn't get in, then I was like, well, maybe I'll try directing next year, or maybe I'll try for PhD programs. I love theater.
Florinda, are you also a playwright as well? Do you write?
I write.
So, what do you do? Either of you? Is there a Yeah, because I'm not, but I don't know if I had playwriting. I do know if I could take performing or directing, I would choose directing over performing if I had to choose, because it just feeds my soul a little bit more. Is there one of the, does directing
That's
versus
like Sophie's
playwriting?
Choice.
Well, I mostly direct my work, so I get to do both. And sometimes I've acted in my own work, so I just do whatever I want.
Yeah, I have some issues with that, but we can talk about that later.
But, That's how I ended up living in Santa Barbara, Lisa. I just do what I want.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. It depends on what I feel like in that moment.
Okay.
I often do the same thing, but I'm mixed, so I believe the two things can hold the same space at the same time.
They can.
And they're beautiful. I started writing. Well, I was a poet and an MC, but as a person of color, as a black, I had to write my stuff or else I wasn't ever going to get put on. It's more popular now to cast us, especially, you know, if we're going to respond to something traumatic happening in the city. But for the most part, if I want to do my work or work in specifically the jazz aesthetic, I'm having to wear two hats because there's not a lot
to
of
it happen.
To make it okay. to make it to be able
so
to happen.
Educate me. Mm-hmm. Jazz aesthetic. I've heard that term here twice already. So what do you mean by that?
The jazz aesthetic is a particular performance style, specifically people of color. We're thinking for colored girls. Okay. But it's knowing the form so well that you can kind of riff. Everybody is an instrument. Things are not literal. Things are not clear. Things are not laid out for you in a very traditional
like jazz.
Mm-hmm. Way. It's completely like jazz. It's hip hop. And hip hop, I think that's the push that you're getting when you see my work or you see Zelmila the Third mm-hmm. work, that it's doing a morph as it should. So that's what the jazz
okay,
aesthetic
got it,
is.
Got it.
Yeah.
I feel
it's a performance
I,
jazz.
I feel like I should have known that.
It has development roots in Austin.
Yeah, it has development roots here in Austin.
Oh.
I mean, it's just so connected. Eric Ian,
Daniel Alexander
Jones. Yeah.
Omi.
Everybody. Yeah, it's a big old clique of us that... that role, that approach doing the work, which is about being really present and telling the truth and finding, you know, stories as they live in the room. But again, it always requires people that can roll with you and stuff, which is why, and what I love about what's happening right now with Salvage as we are taking in these young actors and exposing them to this particular methodology, that we're teaching them how to be in the moment, how to be jazz. We're having to improvise around what's happening in our city right now with the work. And so that's what the jazz
Let's take a moment and talk about Salvage Vanguard, because you guys are a part of the trio of people running Salvage Vanguard right now. Mm-hmm. So Jenny Larson and the two of you are running Salvage Vanguard. We know all too well that you are... You don't have your own space anymore. I don't want to say homeless because you've taken up residence at the Doherty, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's that going for y'all?
It's good. It's fun.
As good as the Doherty can be. I mean, we all know about the Doherty.
Well, they went to war. I mean, they made our transition happen. They made sure that they do the best they can within mm-hmm. the limitations of the space.
Right.
It's a city program. It's new. It's still developing. So I think that there are things that we're helping them figure out about what works and then what doesn't work.
And theater is like a demanding beast, right?
Really?
Like we want to be there till 2 a.m. if we have to.
Right.
And the DAC is run by the
city workers.
It's
like,
a Parks and Rec.
What do you mean?
Well,
2
we have.
So it's learning a new dance.
We have been, as we all have been, in major discussions with the city, and I'll just say right now that they should be giving management responsibilities to different companies to run the DAC and the MAC and the Boyd Vance Theater, so that the city isn't doing it that anymore and those rules don't exist because the city basically isn't managing it. We are. The theater community is. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I think we should be operating those spaces, because otherwise they're not going to be used as to the extent that they can. And certainly the MAC and the the Boyd Vance isn't being used to the extent that it should be.
Those two facilities specifically are strange and are kind of loaded. It seems interesting to put the demand on using those spaces to their full capability. Now that we need space, when Black artists were needing that space before we were homeless. So I understand that charge, but I wish we'd have picked it up when the artists of color were this has always been their battle.
Well, this is what kills me. So the Boyd Vance, and you were around when Boyd still living, and we have a wonderful theater named after him that the color community can't use.
And we haven't been using it. We haven't been able to use it.
Like, no. You built this thing, and I'm like, okay, so now it's built. I watched it happen. I don't understand.
Don't get it.
Yeah, and then, like I said, that's why I was saying, it's like we're the learning. It's like, oh, yes, well, you can develop a program to stay open late, but make sure everyone knows what the procedure is to make sure that happens.
The crazy thing is, the solution is so simple in my mind. And that is that when you're dealing with the bureaucracy of the government, they don't want simple. They want complicated.
No, when has the government ever privileged the theater? Like, the U.S. government doesn't care about theater.
I always think they're slipping, because if anybody could show you how to do this quickly, effectively, and efficiently on nothing, is the artist.
Yep.
This is what we know. This is what we know. It's so sad.
That's true. Well, we're out of time here backstage. Any of you ever do a musical?
Yes.
Which one?
Oh my gosh. Amos Behaven.
Uh-huh. I love Amos Behaven.
Sound of Music. Funniest.
Do you have a favorite?
My Fair Lady. What is my favorite musical?
Get closer to that microphone, young lady.
Like, what is my favorite musical?
You're going to make me go listen to the Amos Behaven soundtrack.
I have the album.
That is like my secret. I saw the album. Yeah. That's like my. I'm a musical kind of like. My baby listens to musicals is during bath time. Like, that's
all right.
Like,
so what's your favorite from Miss Behaven? What's a Fats Waller song that you just love?
Oh my gosh. Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see I'm with me. I don't blame them, goodness no. Out, cause you're my honey. I'm sorry, that's my favorite.
Oh, no, it's continuing
song.
On. That's lovely.
That's
a beautiful
song.
The
whole thing. And Hamilton. The baby is like obsessed with Hamilton.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it.
Me neither.
What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to wait till it comes here.
It's on tour. Yeah. It's coming.
I'm like, this is when we end up performing it in the
parking
lot.
Well, it's in Houston in April. If you don't want to wait for the season in Austin, it's in 4 weeks in April. Okay.
My life is so complicated. We're going to go
in April. You and me. Yes. All right, ladies. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And best of luck with everything.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Sugar, so sweet, when you're staring.